Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Jonathan Friedman, and our next guest in the studio is Janet Sekel-Cerati of Friendship Works. Welcome, Janet.
Thank you.
It's nice to have you back. It's been quite a while, I guess about 5 years since you've been on the show, and it's always a pleasure to have prior guests back and to learn again about what your organization is doing and to hear about the good work that you're doing. So tell our listeners a little bit about Friendship Works.
So Friendship Works' vision is to end elder isolation, and our mission really is to reduce social isolation, improve quality of life, and maintain the dignity of elders. There are so many people who live alone, who don't have any family or friends around. It's actually quite astounding. People don't realize that. Many people did not have children, or the children live very far away, or their children have predeceased them. And so and their neighbors may be their same age, so they don't get to see them as often because of mobility issues.
So in a broad sense, how do you define isolation? Because I'm sure that there's a technical term that says, you know, somebody who lives alone that doesn't get out, and is that a daily, weekly, monthly? What's the sort of scale of it? And not the numbers in terms of people, but in terms of how do you define somebody who's isolated?
Well, that's a wonderful question. And I think that one thing I want to answer that is that there's a difference between isolation and loneliness. So loneliness is something, a feeling that you have, and you may be surrounded by people or you may be with others, but you still have an emotional sense of loneliness. Social isolation can cause loneliness if you don't have anybody in your life, but social isolation is really about that you don't see somebody on a regular basis. So I don't know the exact definition, I will say, but usually it's like less than once a month that you would have a face-to-face contact with somebody that cares about you, so that they would see that you're not eating, that you don't look as well as you did before, that there's no food in your refrigerator, and you're not aware that something's going on. You don't have somebody to call to take you to the doctors or to hang out with and chat. That's what socially isolated is.
So it's really having somebody that interacts with you in order to really see how you're doing as a human being, and have that, as we talked about, that face-to-face. It's different picking up the phone and speaking to somebody versus being face-to-face, touching, having direct personal contact, as well as you talk about, looking in the refrigerator and making sure that somebody's eating.
Yeah, and somebody who cares about you. They come because they care about you as well. Somebody you can call, as I said, to talk about and concern you have, and somebody that you can care about as well.
So certainly over the last generation or two, this issue has probably become more pronounced, whereby you have families that are dispersed. You have adult grown children who move to other parts of the country and leaving seniors. And as they age, and we know that people are living longer, the problem must be manifesting itself all that much more now.
Yeah, Friendship Works started in the 1980s, and it was really started by the medical community. Very interestingly, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation originally funded 25 programs in the United States because they saw that there were more people who were elders who are living alone, their families, those of us in the younger generation, now I'm one of the older ones, I guess, but we're moving because of jobs, because to find out who we really were, and we're given the freedom to do that, but parents and grandparents were staying in place, and that they wanted to see whether volunteers could play some of the role that family and friends would have played in, society prior to that.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about how the Friendship Works programs work. I know you mentioned that there's a number of different interactions that you have, but in a general sense, give us some of the highlights.
So we have a number of different programs, and I would divide them into. One is about building long-term relationships and connection, and the other is about assistance, support, things that those of us who are able-bodied take for granted. So for our long-term relationships, we have mostly our friendly visiting, which has been a core program of ours, matching volunteers, people of any age, from 18 to 90, with an elder for friendship, for support, things that friends do. And that's why we call it Friendship Works, because friendship does work. So somebody comes in, chats, has a cup of tea, or maybe helps to unpack something, change a light bulb, hang out, go for a walk, listen to music, bring an animal with them, a pet if somebody loved having a dog before but they don't anymore, playing guitar together for somebody who used to do that. So we'll do anything that's really gives people a reason to wake up in the morning, gives people knowing that somebody cares about, to remember that next week I'm visiting with Sue or with Bob, and I want to remember to tell them that, or maybe ask them to bring something. So that's our friendly visiting program. Within that, we also have our Pet Pals program, which reaches out to residents of long-term care, to people living in nursing homes and assisted living, and a Relaxing with the Arts program that does that. And our short and walking buddies, to walk with somebody, so to get out when you can to see the world, but with somebody who, for physical or emotional reasons, will be there. Many of us don't walk because we don't have somebody to walk with. Our short-term assistance programs, our biggest part is the medical escort program, which is that we will go with someone, stay with them, make sure that they get home safely from a medical appointment, sometimes go into the appointment with them. We're not a transportation service, but a lot of times for emotional or physical reasons, it's really good to have somebody with you. And so that's a volunteer opportunity for people also who do have daytime availability but don't want to commit to the same thing every week, and can do it when they're able to. We're the friendly visiting. You're committing to a weekly stance. And the other...
That's what I was going to ask. What are the commitments? Because I think that some of perhaps people who want to volunteer find it daunting to say, well, I'm going to commit to this over the next X number of years, weekly visits, whatever it may have. Is that some of the challenge that you find, or some of the pushback from people who want to volunteer, is just the commitment?
Actually, we're incredibly successful in recruiting volunteers. We always have been. I think that's been a strength. It's one of the things we do well, is to recruit, to thank, to give purpose, and to also help people to make sure they don't overdo their volunteering. But for friendly visiting, we do ask for a 10 to 12 month commitment, a weekly commitment for 1 to 2 hours a week. And most people will stay for years after that. They don't have to, because they've built a relationship. They change from being a volunteer to a friend. And so many will stay as long as they're able to and their life allows them to, or that the elder, position desires it.
Mm.
But it is for our short-term and one-time assistance and medical escort program, we don't ask for an absolute commitment, but we ask for a certain number of times, because we do vet our volunteers. As we do the elders that we visit, we make sure that a staff person goes and get into their home before a volunteer does that.
And what is the typical point of contact for your organization? Is it the elder? Is it a family member? Is it how do you engage with the elders?
Great question. Most older adults are referred to us actually through the health care and the home care. I guess professional community will refer somebody. They realize that they're going to somebody's home, a visiting nurse or a social worker, and will say that this person really doesn't have anybody in their life that it would be really benefit for them, and that they would like that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes for a medical escort, it's often a doctor's, the secretary in a doctor's appointment or somebody else. But often it is a family member, a daughter or a son. Some self-referrals. But sometimes there may be a relative that calls us, a daughter who lives in California, and says, my mom's here, or my father just moved here from New York, and really he left his social circle, and I'm the only one, and he really needs something else, so could you maybe find somebody? And we'll try and match somebody. We're matchmakers, so we try and match people according to interests and time of day that somebody wants it, so that it's not just any two people. We take great care, kind of like Fiddler on the Roof, in making a good match.
Making the match. Well, yep. the key to the success, I would imagine, on some level, is a win-win, so
yes,
to speak.
Absolutely.
That the enjoyment's on both sides.
Most volunteers will, almost, I'd say 99% of volunteers will say that they feel that they get more out of it than what they've given, and they had no idea of that when they started.
And I think it's fascinating, having had a little bit of experience and exposure myself, is it's always fascinating to hear the stories. I think in our society, to some degree, you take for granted somebody's lived a long life, but you don't know their story. And the stories are the ones that are really fascinating in a lot of ways.
Oh my gosh, yes. And it's also so important for people to know that their story will be remembered. I remember one gentleman who felt like he was actually able to, I hate to say it, but able to die. He was at the end of his life, which is not necessary when we meet people. We meet people at all different times in their life. But because there was a young man who was visiting with him, who was actually a medical student, and said that he thinks he allowed this gentleman to go in peace because he knew somebody would remember his stories.
Amazing stuff. Tell us a little bit about how the model, the business model works. So you're a nonprofit organization, and I imagine volunteers are just that, volunteers. They're not getting compensated in any way, but you have to survive as an organization. So
our services are free for the elder, no matter what the service is that we provide, and volunteers do not get paid. Staff. We have a lot of costs because it takes a lot to make these matches, to do it carefully, to have rent, to do the training, and all sorts of programs that we do. We also do some group programs with music and with pets. And so really it's from donations. It's individuals. And we're really trying to build our individual support from foundation and corporate support and from a fundraiser that we do each year. And right now we're doing a walk to end elder isolation.
So that's a great tee up for the event that's coming up on the 20th of May. And you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. Well, first I want to welcome people to walk with us on May 20th. And we're going to be doing it around the Jamaica Pond and the Emerald Necklace. And it's a short walk. It's either 2, 4, or 6 miles, depending on anybody's interest. It is, we're asking people to create teams or just to come to walk, make a donation to it. You can just show up that day. You can sign up ahead of time. You can look at our website, www.fw4elders.org. The four is the number four, so it's F like friend, W like work, number four. elders.org. The information is on there, and you can also decide that day, but you can also bring a group of friends. You can walk with your dog. All dog folks are welcome to come, and we will have place for that. So it should be a lot of fun. The secretary of the Executive Office of Elder Affairs, with her 90-year-old mother, is going to be kicking us off that morning, so it should be a fun day.
Oh, wonderful. So it's a great opportunity for people to get out and not only interact and see how the program works to some degree, but interact with elders and also raise some money along the way.
Right. And even if you don't want to come, but you would like to support the whole issue of social isolation and make sure an elder has a friend, you can also just support one of the teams that you can see online there, or just go to our website and give some support to Friendship Works.
So wonderful work you're doing. Janet Seckel Sarati is our guest. She's with Friendship Works. And Janet, is it a local organization? Is it a national organization? What's the scope of Friendship Works?
We serve all of Boston and Brookline in terms of the elders that we serve right now. We do help other communities develop programs similar to ours. And we are part of an association called the National Volunteer Caregiving Network. We don't have any obligation to them, but that would be our association. So there are programs similar to us in other parts of the country.
And you said that the organization's been around since the 80s. Do you have any stats on how many matches you've made, and or how many do you make a year?
We touch the lives of about 1,500 people each year.
Wow.
And through our friendly visiting and through our medical escort, we have over 400 volunteers that volunteer. And each day it really feels good to go to work, because I know that each day we're making a difference in many people's lives, as well as in, you know, any one new person's life.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful organization, not an obligation, but a wonderful thing that you're doing, not only for the community, but as you said, volunteers often get more out of it than perhaps they think they will. And I want to wish you continued success best of luck with the program on the 20th, or the fundraiser. So I want to encourage people to come out and participate. And tell people in general how to get in touch with you. What's the best way for them to reach out to you if they have a need in terms of either a senior, if they want some visitation, if they want some assistance, or if people want to volunteer?
Yeah. Well, you can go to our website, and the name of the organization is Friendship Works. That's one word, just so, although you'll probably find us either way. You can call us at 617-482-1510. Or you can go on our website, as I said, fw4elders.org.
And that's FW with number 4elders.org.
Yes.
Wonderful. Our guest in the studio has been Janet Seckel Sarati of Friendship Works, and it's been a real pleasure having you back on Radio Entrepreneurs. And we'll be right back with another segment on Radio Entrepreneurs.